All right. If you'll look here now with me in Proverbs 12:12, the title of the message tonight is Give and Take. Give and Take. Now, last week we studied in Proverbs 12:11, which is where we'll start off tonight, which says, He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. But he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. And in that study last week, we learned that God packed all the potential of the earth into the land. And he ordained that man work that land to bring the potential out of it for the betterment of mankind. And working out the potential that God has given us brings great satisfaction to us, and someone who follows the example of worthless people, however, they fail to develop the potential that God has given them, and that means they're void of understanding, as the scripture says. And a lot of those people, they suffer, as we looked at, they suffer from depression, they suffer from the physical hunger, from lack of having things that they need, because they don't understand the way that God ordained His creation to operate. Now, building on that truth tonight, the Bible continues saying, if you'll look now with me in verse 12, it says, the wicked. Now, the wicked here, remember, wicked doesn't just mean someone who's, you know, got a pitchfork in their hand and going around just trying to be mean to people. But it's talking about people who refuse to follow the way that God ordained for this life to function, for the earth, the creation, to operate. And when God created the world, He made everything good, everything tov. We looked at that before. And He established a good and a perfect order for mankind and how he should function in the earth. And God put Adam in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. We looked at as well. And God created Eden, and then God put Adam in Eden to work the ground. And after Adam sinned, God sent him outside the Garden of Eden to do the same thing, work the ground. And Cain worked the ground. He was a tiller of the ground. Abel also worked the ground because he raised sheep up out of it. He used that. You can't have sheep without earth. You can't have anything without earth. And he used the land and worked that land. And Cain's descendants, they also worked the ground. And they got metal out of the ground. They harvested building materials out of the ground and built cities. And God put all kinds of potential in this world into that ground, and he put it in and he made us to work it out. By the way, while we're on that, you can't work out what God hasn't first put in. And that's one of the problems that leads to depression in this world, that people who don't understand the ways of God, they're trying to work out something from this earth that God hasn't put in it. They're trying to gain satisfaction from some means that God hasn't provided. And they keep trying to get satisfied by the world, and the world's not going to satisfy them that way. The world is there for our good, but satisfaction is only going to come from our God. And that's the difference. And so the wicked, they don't follow the way that God has ordained for them to walk. And wickedness exhibits itself in all kinds of wrong behavior. Cain was right to till the ground. That was a good thing that Cain did. Cain was wrong or wicked to practice a false religion, you see. And in our case tonight, the wicked person tonight is someone who, if you look back in your text, desires the net. A wicked person is someone who desires the net. Now, that may not stand out to us at first, desires the net. What does that mean? But when we compare this verse to the previous verse that we just read back in verse 11, and we think about what we studied last week, we're going to see a stark difference tonight between the man who works the ground and the man who desires the net. There's a big difference. The man who works the ground is working something out of the ground. The man who desires the net is entrapping what somebody else has worked for. You see the difference? One is working it out. The other is entrapping what he worked for. That's the difference. The Bible is not talking about a net that's used to fish in the sea. That's a good net. This here tonight's an evil net. When you cast a net to catch fish in the sea, do you know what you're doing? You're actually working the ground. You're harvesting fish from the earth, just as you would harvest vegetables from the soil, just as you would harvest metal out of it. You're harvesting and using a net for that purpose. That's work. You're putting work in. You're taking the potential out. Remember, Jesus also instructed the disciples to toss the net into the sea. And he helped them catch fish. So that's not the kind of net we're talking about. That is a good net. And so a net is not necessarily bad, but the net spoken of here tonight is bad because he says they desire the net, look back in your text, of evil men. The net of evil men. So the net in our text tonight is not used to harvest, it's used to steal. And the word men here is not in our original Hebrew language. As you see, it's italicized. And so it's literally saying that the wicked desire the net of evil. Or can we just make it a little more plain? The wicked desire the evil net. How about that? The wicked people desire the evil net. In other words, they desire to catch in their net what does not rightfully belong to them. They want to do that. That's how they want to make their gain. That's how they want to prosper in life, is to prosper by taking what you've worked for. And there's a lot of people like that. They work hard at taking what you work for. And by working hard at taking what you work for, they produce nothing. They just take what you've produced. It's wasted effort. It's very selfish effort. It's very wicked effort. But they enjoy doing that. It's what they like to do. I mean, a burglar, they put in a good night's work too. You think about it. They got to case the house. They got to figure where the potential is. They got to break in. They're taking a lot of risk. They're taking more risk than a businessman. Taking more risk than Aprons by Abigail. I guarantee you that. And they go in. They take their business risk. They take their stuff. Well, now once they've taken it, they got to find a market for it. They got to sell it and cash that stuff in, see? And so they work hard for a living. But they're not contributing anything. They just desire for some reason to work hard at taking what somebody worked for. It's a very wicked way of thinking, but there are people like that all over this world. Some people have aspirations to do great things. Some people have aspirations for the net. In the building I work in, that building, they administer tests to people who are seeking some type of license or some type of certification for employment. If you want to become a counselor, a surveyor, an insurance salesperson, a nurse, a teacher, an engineer, some type of board certification as a medical doctor, or a number of many other things, you come to my building to take that test. It's the floor above me. And they take that test, and when I enter into my building to go to work, often in the morning, I'll see these nervous young people come in. They'll walk in like this, have that deer in the headlight look, and they're kind of looking around, and it looks like their whole life is depending on that day. And I'll say, man, they're nervous. I'll say, you taking a test this morning? Yes. I said, come on, I'll show you where to go. And I'll show them where to go. And that's not my job. That's just, I can tell they don't know what to do and they're scared to death. But you know what? They worked hard getting the education they have. They worked hard cramming for that test, and they're nervous. And all the money they spent for the training and all the time and the effort they spent studying, it hinges upon that day. But they desire to do something meaningful with their life, but the wicked desire to take what these people work for. It's wrong. The wicked desire the net of evil men. Look back in your text. But the root of the righteous is much different than that of the wicked. The root of the righteous is the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the righteous spring forth and live. And since Jesus descended from David, who descended from David's father Jesse, the Bible calls Jesus the root of Jesse. Since Jesse came from Jesus before Jesus came from him. Isaiah 11:10 says, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, to which shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Jesus is the root of righteousness. He is like the root of an olive tree that we've been grafted into by the gospel. Romans 11, 16a, verse 18. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now that's us. And if some of the branches be broken off, that's the unbelievers, and thou, being a wild olive tree, that's the Gentiles, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, that's us, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, then he's basically saying, remember this, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. And without explaining all that tonight, the main thing is this, the root, the Lord Jesus Christ, He bears us. We spring out of that root through the gospel. The root grows us. The root bears us. The root bears fruit through us. And our root is the Lord Jesus Christ, the root of righteousness. And that root, look back in your text, yields fruit. It yieldeth fruit. Literally in the Hebrew, it gives fruit. So in this verse, we have people who are nets and people who are branches. The branch yields fruit from the root. Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Roots yield fruit. They manufacture and yield fruit to be a blessing to people. So here's what you need to know tonight. A root produces fruit. A net produces nothing. You lay a net out there, water it, pray over it all day long. It's not going to produce anything. All it can do is catch something. Remember, the Hebrew word translated yield here means gives. A root gives, a net takes. You see the difference? In this verse, we have givers and we have takers. In this life, we have givers and we have takers. When scammers are sending you texts and emails and phone calls all day, they are simply casting out their nets, hoping to ensnare someone and take what they've worked for. They're not going to give them anything in return. They simply want to take from them. The reason God calls these people wicked in this verse is because this is not how God designed the world to operate. The wicked operate on the basis of giving and taking. You hearing this? The wicked operate on the basis of giving and taking, but God designed the world to operate on the basis of giving and giving. Last Saturday, I took my wife to a coffee shop to get her some really nice coffee. And that coffee shop is based on the principle that God has given us, on the basis of giving and giving. They gave us coffee that they produced through their labor, and we gave them currency that we produced through our labor. At one point, the man gave us coffee mugs, and I gave him a book I wrote. But in each case, it was giving and giving. When we give and give, both people win. When we give and take, one person wins, the other person loses. A person with a root gives fruit. A person with a net can only take that fruit. I read in the news this week where a Tyler doctor billed the government over $5 million for medical care that he didn't perform. Did y'all see that article? $5 million, a doctor in Tyler. You can make money being a doctor, but no, the wicked desire the net. They'd rather take. And so what happened in this case, the taxpayer gave, but all the wicked doctor did was take. All of that money given in no service performed. $5 million. You know how much treatment that could give people who needed it? Many people have cultivated a life that's just based on taking. They take from the welfare system. They take from the school system. They give absolutely nothing in return. They have a net, not a root. And that's the way they like it. They desire the net of evil. Michelle Obama infamously said, "The truth is, in order to get things like universal health care and a revamped education system, then someone is going to have to give up a piece of their pie so that someone else can have more." And when you hear words like that, that's a taker casting their net. A taker wants to get a piece of someone's pie. A giver wants to make more pies. And that's the difference. Instead of having the outlook of how can I take a piece of that person's pie, and they had to give up a piece of their pie so I can have some, a producer, they say, how can I go out and make pies? The truth is, if all the takers suddenly vanished from the earth, the world would function better without them. All the people who desire the net, if they left, the world would actually be better off. But if all the producers vanished from the earth, the world couldn't function at all. I'll close with this. Today, this morning, I received a phone call at work. And, if they ring the church, it rings my phone. And so I stepped away and from my post and took the call. And it was a young woman. It's almost always young people. I don't know if I ever get any call from an older person here at church wanting something. It's always young people, real young, healthy-looking people. And this young lady on the other line says, and I get these calls all the time, by the way, all the time. This young lady says, who's speaking, please? I said, this is Central Baptist Church. How can I help you? I just want to know, do y'all help pay electric bills? No, ma'am, we don't. Okay, thank you. You're welcome. A few hours later, get another call. Central Baptist Church. Who's speaking, please? Central Baptist Church, how can I help you? I'm not going to start giving out names. I don't even know who these people are. They need to tell me who they are. But takers don't care. Takers just do that. And they said, I was calling around trying to get someone to help me pay my electric bill. And basically, to make a long story short, they finally found a church. After all of the browsing through the phone books, calling church to church to church to church to church to church, she finally found a pastor that said they'd pay her electric bill. You know why she was calling me back? She couldn't remember which church she called. Now she had to find the church so she could get her money to get her electric bill paid. Or take the bill to them, or however, whatever arrangement they had. Now she doesn't know where to go. Hours of work to try to get the electric bill paid. She says, yes, is this Anthony? I said, no, ma'am, it's not. Well, who is this? I said, ma'am, it's not Anthony. No one from our church is paying your electric bill. You got the wrong church. She goes, Well, I'm trying to find, I called all the churches. I finally found one, and I'm trying, and I said, ma'am, I'm sorry, this is not it. I don't know an Anthony. I'm sorry. A few minutes later, get another phone call. Who's speaking, please? I said, ma'am, the same man you were speaking to a couple of minutes ago, still calling, trying to find that church. And you know what I was thinking? She'd been doing it. I was getting ready to leave to go home from work when she called back the last time. She called when I go to work. She's still calling when I'm leaving work. And I'm thinking, she's been at this all day. She could have been at work. But the wicked desire the net. I don't know what that woman's situation is. But I know one thing. We got a man sitting right there that works from home. On the phone. Makes his living and pays his bills talking on the phone. And that woman could have done the same thing. But instead, all of that labor. And that's a lot of work that woman did. There's a lot of talking, a lot of calling, a lot of, you know, poor management, but a lot of work. And you know what? At the end of the day, she's going to take and give. So one party's going to give. She's going to give nothing in return. Nothing. And that's a sad way of looking at things. Our lives need to mean something. We need to be beneficial to our fellow man, beneficial to society. And with that, we'll go ahead and close tonight. But always remember, work on the principle of giving and giving. And you know what? Sometimes when we get old and we get sick and we can't get out and work anymore, God willing, hopefully we've saved for that day. But you know what? Sometimes if you have to receive and have no way to pay back, you can still give. You can still give. You can still be a blessing to people. I tell you what, there was a man that did something for me one time, and I was willing to pay for it. And he knew as a pastor, and you know what he said? He said, just pray for me. You know what? Before I left, I got in my vehicle, closed my door, and I prayed for that man. Lord, I pray for him again. You know who he is. I pray for him. And we can always give, but have the heart, have the mindset of giving and giving. With that, we'll go ahead and close tonight. Father, we thank you so much that the root of the righteous bears fruit. Doesn't mean we always produce money. But the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, He works in us to work out the potential you've given us in this earth. To pray, Father, for others. To be a blessing to others. To speak words of encouragement to others. There's so many things, dear Lord God, that people who can't work for monetary gain can still, Father God, bear the fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ on their branches. And Father, I pray that all of us will have that mindset of being producers, givers, abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we can work, then we can work, Father, so that we can give to others. If we can't work, then we can pray and encourage, Father, and we can do those things, dear Lord God, that are still the fruits of righteousness that you bear through your people. But Lord, I pray that as long as we're here on this earth, you will bear your precious fruit through us. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.